The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
So is it actually harder to find long-lasting love these days? Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist, joins us now. Morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Anton.
So, Stephanie, people having to navigate their way through apps and websites and all of the pressures of modern life, is it making it more difficult to find that perfect permanent partner?
I think the reality is it is more difficult because expectations have changed so extraordinarily. And, of course, the whole way we're meeting people. So we have all sorts of many more ways, if you like, to meet people and to meet a variety of different people. But it sort of leads us into that kind of sort of being fooled a little bit that there is no end of choice and there's no end of people that we could connect with and have that sort of connection with. But the truth is, you know, our expectations of what we want from relationship and from a kind of a long lasting, call it a marriage, a living together, whatever it is, that has changed so incredibly. That's where the challenge is. You know, women, men, we are all completely in a different space now where we're looking for an intellectual equal, somebody we can really share our lives with that have common goals, common interests. We want somebody who's got a big trajectory of their own. We want them to be a good parent. We don't want them out of the house and doing nothing at home. You know, they have to be a great co-parent. They've also got to be, you know, an exciting personal sexual partner to be with. And this is, it's a lot to try and get all of that out of one person. And for them with us. So it is more difficult because our expectations have massively changed.
Now, have our expectations become totally unrealistic or is it possible?
Well, I do think it's possible. But I think that it makes it a more difficult journey. And it also means that people change their mind about somebody halfway down the road and, you know, quite a bit into relationships. They're more likely to change. They're more likely not to feel it can go the whole distance because this person is not meeting a particular need. Or because, as we know, I mean, there's some, I think, you know, fantastic films that kind of highlight this, that what you want at the beginning of what you might consider to be your long-term person isn't always what you want 10 years in. For example, the drive to have children, the drive to be a parent and to be a mother or a father indeed, that once that need is quenched in many ways, other needs come into view. And those needs often can't be met in the situation. And these are the kind of places that we see people stepping back from the situation and saying, this ain't going to work. I'm going to have to go this alone. And we know that, like, marriages are breaking at an enormous rate. In Ireland, less quickly than in other countries. We're still very, I think, committed to marriage and see it. That's, you know, we're not in the space of the States where really almost 45% of marriages end up in divorce. We're not at that point, but it's probably quite likely that our trajectory is going to be kind of similar.
Now, is the difference that in the old days people had lower expectations and were therefore happier with their lot, or that people had lower expectations and just lived in misery?
Well, I think there are two things. I think people had lower expectations, and maybe if those expectations were half met, there probably was more contentment. But I think there was a lot of misery. And I certainly don't look back in, in those years, or say the last 100 years, and think that this was the romantic kind of time. I think this is a great time that people are living in personally, where people have choice, where people know what they want, where they have high expectations of their partners and they don't live in misery. We all know it. The Irish marriage where the silence, I mean, I had people very close to me in my own home life. When I say home life, living in neighbourly situations where I saw couples who never spoke for 20 years. Extraordinary misery. And, you know, this wasn't a romantic thing. This wasn't a lovely kind of long-lasting love. These were trapped to each other, people who felt trapped to each other. So let's not, you know, put it up on a pedestal. That's the way I would view it. I mean, love is a very special thing. It's very possible, very available, and very, how would I say, something really worth the pursuit. But it's really important that we recognize that it's difficult, it's challenging, and expectations have to be moderated.
Should expectations be changed, though, Stephanie? I think about the shift that's happened in employment, where the thing of getting a gig in your early 20s and remaining there until you get the gold watch, that's now a thing of the past. And there's this sort of sense of the gig economy and people have multiple careers. Should we be saying the same for relationships, that you, instead of having the one that'll get you through the rest of your life, plan for three or four big ones?
Well, on average, people have 7 or 8 big romantic relationships. And I should say 7 or 8 romantic, you know, decent sort of length romantic relationships. But about 2 to 3 significant loves. That's the pattern that's sort of out there. And I think your question is interesting. I don't think it's so much that we should obviously tell people, but I think that there is a pattern emerging where, you know, people, it's not going to be unusual for people to have, call it 2 marriages, or it doesn't have to be marriage, 2 big relationships in life, where maybe they have children and then they blend and whatever. And I think that's pretty wonderful, you know, and maybe we do have to look at what we expect from it. Maybe people do grow out of each other, you know, maybe they go past each other. And do we have to always just cling on? Is cling on the only answer? Is there another respectful way of moving to the second phase, say, of life or of a person's sort of trajectory?
Although if you do that, is there a risk, like you see in the States, where the assumption is that about half of marriages will end in divorce? I wonder, does it make people think when they start to hit rocky territory?
Times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do they just say, oh, right, never mind, we'll call it quits? Is the fact that it is almost more socially permissible and expected, does it allow you to go there earlier when things might have been salvageable?
Well, I suppose I have a kind of a biased view in that the people who come to me are the people who have tried, you know, the people who are saying, hey, you know, maybe if we had a third party here, this might help us to get through this. So I suppose by nature, they're not the people who are cutting out early. But my own experience, so that's a biased, I suppose I'm saying that's a kind of a, you know, a subgroup. But my feeling, and certainly my experience with people, is I have never met anybody in Ireland who has walked out of a marriage lightly. I have seen them, almost every person that I've ever met, they would spend probably 1 or 2 years before they even get to me saying, you know, trying and, you know, trying to have the big conversations, trying to put their needs on the table, trying to resolve things. And then they would probably do a solid 12 months of trying to put themselves into, you know, learn new ways of dealing with the issue, looking back, understanding each other's triggers, all of those things. And so it's a big deal ending marriages in Ireland, and people put in an enormous amount of effort. So I don't think that fickleness in any ways has come into play. I think that's slightly a Hollywood vibe. And I suppose it's also perhaps if you're in an environment in Ireland, we're only, what are we now, 29 years with a divorce. We're still quite new in it. And it's still, we of course all know people who have divorced and separated and all of that. But we don't, it's not every second person.
Well, on that positive note, Stephanie, that's where we leave it. Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist. Thank you very much. 53106.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.